Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle. This week is on the tail end of Teacher Appreciation Week. It's also on the tail end of Mother's Day. Isn't that nice? So today, I guess this episode will drop on the 10th of May. I'm going to talk about things that we appreciate from our moms. And I know that's sort of a crazy thing. For those of us who are our moms, we appreciate you. Hey, I mean, I appreciate you. I'm sure your students and your kids appreciate you. I heard someone tweet that this week. This one goes out to all the moms and all the teachers that have been called mom. I think it's a very dangerous precedent to put ourselves in, to think of ourselves as surrogate parents to the students that we serve. I don't think that's a really healthy way to get into a profession, and certainly it's not a healthy way to get in and out of the classroom. You put way too much pressure on yourself in that regard. But I do think there's a lot of parent-like qualities that we do have as teachers and we bring to our practice as teachers. So we'll talk about that today. First things first, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe. New episodes drop every Monday. You can leave a comment or give it a nice rating on one of those podcasting apps, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever it is. It helps other people find the show. So thank you for that. If you want to talk to me further, I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. And I'll talk about all things teaching related to any time, gladly. I'm a real geek for this stuff. And if you want more, I have a website. It's www.edadrenalinerush.com, like educational edadrenaline. I have all my templates and all my resources that are related to my book, which is called Adrenaline Rush, about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. I also spend most of my time these days hanging out at a website called EMC2 Learning, which I co-founded with Michael Montero. And it is about bringing playful pedagogy to our classrooms and engaging students, engaging teachers, engaging schools at the speed of life. Hey, fun. Lots more there. But this week, talking about play and learning and our moms. My mom is a teacher. She was a career changer. Started life as a teacher, as an undergraduate. Then had us and got into video production and design. My mom spent the better part of like 15, 20 years in freelance, doing work for all sorts of video. Way back in the early days of like cable television, my mom was making commercials and like industrial in-house video production stuff. She worked for all sorts of companies. She worked in the editing, I guess, companies for Merck, for Prudential. She worked video production and design, editing alongside of people in the NFL Films production headquarters. She did one or two national commercials, one for Russ Troll, way back when everybody was doing those troll dolls, right? And then another one for Harley Davidson. So my mom knew a lot about like bringing eyes to a product, you know, how to make things look just a certain way. And I think I inherited a lot of that from my mom. My mom she's years after that, though, brought that same energy into her classroom. And after we kind of were all of an age where we could get through school, take care of ourselves. Like I think I was 15 or 16 years old. She decided to go back to school. Went and got her master's degree, and went back to school. Became certified to work in special education. So my mom worked for the next, like, 19 years of her career. Kindergarten, basic skills, she taught reading recovery, she taught special education, pull-out, and inclusion. And I certainly have a lot of that in my DNA, I think, too. My mom always would joke, she's like, look, I can help you guys with math homework until about fifth grade. After that, it's like really advanced math, and I can't do that anymore. And so she went in as a teacher, and she went in with the youngest of students, most vulnerable of students. She's like, these are the ones who I know I could do a really good job helping get them to where they need to go. I was always flattered by that, always struck by that. Because it's hard to do that work at any age. As a career changer, my mom made the decision to go back and kind of re-parent, almost, the same age of students who she had just graduated out of her house, right? If I was in 5th and 6th grade, 7th grade, then my brothers were in, like, 4th and 5th grade, you know, or 3rd, 4th grade. And I think that's interesting because right when we got done with that stuff, she loved doing that around the house. She loved helping out with like English, math, science, homework. My mom loved being a chaperone, a homeroom mom, you know, doing the things where would come in and help plan parties and class trips and things like that. She loved that stuff. And I think she found herself, you know, finding a calling quite accidentally, in a roundabout way, right back to where she had started from. She had majored in education, you know, teaching, and kind of found her way back to teaching the exact same population, so that when she was done with raising fifth graders, she could go back into schools and teach students younger than fifth grade. And I think that's really something that really bleeds over. I think it's something that we all learn from our own parents, is a lot of our instructional style can't help but be modeled off of the strongest role models that we have. Whether we had really compassionate role models, or we wished we had more compassionate role models, I think a lot of who we are in a classroom does proceed directly from the type of, you know, parent we aspire to be, or maybe the type of parents we've had. I think about the compassion and the patience and the kindness that my mom shows me regularly. Even though, you know, I'm older now, and we talk about grown-up things, sports, politics, religion, you know, investment, finance, retirement, all these sorts of things. And we don't have to see eye to eye on them. I think about the compassion and the kindness with which she approaches those things, patience. Because she kind of knows the answers on some of these things, and I don't. But rather than telling me at all times all the things she knows and I don't, she's still really good at asking why I think what I think. She's asking me, you know, like, to explain my way of seeing things and to kind of show my way through, almost like showing my work, right? I think that's a really good thing. I think that's something that our moms, you know, if you're raised in a household, if you're fortunate enough to be raised in a household where you had a great relationship with your mom, that moms can give us that sense of how to talk to people, how to listen to one another, how to share, you know, in a way that says, whatever you've made is really worth sharing. I'd like to see more of that. You know, can you tell me more about that thing? I think about as a kid, you know, and I was the eldest of three, but, like, doing things that were creative things around the house, like, you know, finger painting and, you know, projects, artwork, and stuff like that. Your mom, you know, again, if your house was like mine, and if it wasn't, you know, like I said, I know I'm aware of my own privilege when I'm sharing this story, but yeah, I'm speaking from, like, my own lived experience here, so please understand that I'm not saying this has to be everyone's mom, but certainly was my experience, is that when I would make things, you know, summer, whether it was summer, like, vacation, you know, or, like, just too young to go to school, you'd make things, and, like, it would be for an audience of one, right? You'd make those finger paintings, or those pictures, or those drawings, you'd build with blocks, dress up, or, you know, stories that you'd kind of make up together, and your mom was your biggest fan. You know, she was the audience that you couldn't wait to show stuff to. The person who was right there in the front row cheering for you when that thing went really well. You were so excited to, like, be left to your own devices and just sort of tinker and make stuff, and then call her over and show her what it looked like. Even if it was just, you know, you rearranged the couch cushions and made it into a fort. And I think that's something that, you know, what great teachers do as well, is really help students feel that they're seen and they're celebrated, and that whatever they've turned out is something that is warrant, like, I guess it warrants, you know, further discussion and further examination, further celebration. You know, my mom's very, very, very good at that stuff. Like, I can't wait to see what you made. Oh my gosh. To this day, my mom does stuff like that. Like, you know, I bought a house in March. My mom sent a card to the house. Like, we're so excited to see the house. We can't wait to see it. This weekend, my mom and dad came down to see the house. And they were so excited to just see the space, and then to tell me it was a good investment, you know, and like, hey, I want you to take a look at this and take a look at that, or hey, you've done a really good job with this. Have you thought about decorating like this? Have you thought about furniture here and all that stuff? But it was always let's just play, let's just see, let's see what it looks like. And I realized, like I said, I'm incredibly fortunate, A, that my mom and my dad are still together, certainly, but B, that they're still in my life in a very close and connected way where I can say, yeah, come on down, spend a weekend, let's connect, let's see it. And then that willingness to roll your sleeves up alongside with, and it's something that as a teacher, you know, we do well to learn from. You know, my mom was right there. She says, hey, put me to work. She wanted to, what my grandmother did, my Italian grandmother, she would come over and clean everything within an inch of his life. I don't even know where my grandmother would buy these house dresses that she had. Not like these 1950s style house dresses, but I'm talking like these very Italian lady house dresses. Like, it's made of this very thin material because, like, you're working all day, and it's almost like a giant apron, I remember my grandma Cerrito just wore these all the time, and was always cleaning, constantly. So every family vacation, every family event, every family meal, grandma is missing from the pictures because she's constantly, like, if we're at the shore, she's in the kitchen cooking nonstop, or cleaning nonstop, and it's, like, not even her house, it's a rental house, but she's like, it's gotta be clean within an inch of its life, we're gonna be here, gotta keep it clean. I think my mom inherited a lot of that from my grandma. Like, always has a rag in her hand if she's, like, at the house to put herself to work. Not because I put her to work, because she's just like, hey, this is a love language thing. Like, let's roll up our sleeves and let's, you know, let's... My grandmother would clean the traps in your drains. Like, she would take the strainers and polish them. Like, it was just such attention to detail, such thought. She would take the coffee pot apart and, like, you know, 2-3 times a week, just polish it, like, and scrub it down. I think about that, and it's like, it's something that no one notices, but it's a love language. It's my gift to you as I'm showing up, and, you know, leading with vulnerability. There's a service, like a servant's mindset there. And that's, you know, back to the Christian idea, which, again, is my faith tradition. That idea about the servant song, you know, will you let me be your servant? Let me be, and I'm kind of like a Christian tradition, but let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. And you don't have to be Christian to appreciate the sentiment there, which is, I love you so much, I'm willing to serve you, I'm willing to work for you, I'm willing to show up for you, I'm willing to help, I'm willing to be vulnerable, I'm willing to, like, sweat, roll my sleeves up, and I hope I have the grace in my own self to let you do the same for me. You know, we help each other out here. We're pilgrims on this journey together, and that leading with vulnerability, so you don't have this authority that you command respect, you know. You control people. Instead, you just sort of compel them to say, hey, there's a level of quiet dignity and a job well done. And you show up and you work your butt off, because that's what the vocation is, right? You know, from the Latin word vocare, it means to be called. Like, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a teacher, you have a calling. And part of that calling is to show up for the people who you're there to serve. Yes, moms and dads are the ultimate authority, for sure. Teachers are the ultimate authority, too. Principals are the ultimate authority. You know, like, coaches are the ultimate authority. Scoutmasters, our religious leaders are absolutely the ultimate authority in their spheres. But there's a quiet leadership there where you, again, are compelling respect. You're compelling reverence. You're compelling a relationship because you're saying, I don't come in here pretending to have everything figured out. I come in willing to listen. I come in willing to work. I come in willing to roll my sleeves up, to be vulnerable, to cheer for you, to be in your front row, to say, hey, what have you made today? What have you worked on today? I'd love to see more of that. And when you have that kindness, that grace, that empathy, people can't help but want to show up. And my mom always would say for Mother's Day, I said, well, what do you want for Mother's Day? What do you want for Mother's Day? She says, I want good kids and a clean house. And we'd always kind of laughed at that. But it's a love language thing, right? My mom would clean up for us, always. And we would, you know, three boys run around making a mess all the time. Like, it's a small thing to say, hey, the same way that you give love, you probably would enjoy receiving love. And in that way, it's like, you clean for us all the time. You're constantly picking up our soccer cleats or our baseball equipment or, you know, our football helmets or football pads. You're constantly, you know, driving us, shuttling us to and from all of these different events, whether we're in the school play or, like, the Allstate choir or, you know, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, trying out for all these different events. And, at a certain point, who cares for our caretakers, right? Who gives to the givers? And that's it. Like, I think that's what Teacher Appreciation Week and kind of Mother's Day, you know, kind of fuse together in my head is, how do these people give love, and how would they receive it? Last week we talked about ways to make our teachers feel, you know, appreciated and seen and heard. So it's not just a perfunctory bag of candy in your mailbox, you know, sort of a drive-by, fly-by, like I gave you a card. There's something about this that's just really beautiful that says, hey, I show up in the way that you showed up for me. And because, you know, back to the teaching side of things, because you model it so well and so elegantly and so authentically, I want to show up in the exact same capacity to the exact same degree or more. You're inspiring me to want to work harder because I see you and how hard you work for me. I think in our classrooms we can do well to remember that. Talking about Teacher Appreciation Week and Mother's Day, you know, appreciation of our parents, is we're not there in our classrooms to be a surrogate parent for those kids, though they can often feel like that. I think that way it can be very dangerous and very toxic sometimes, lead to the savior mentality that you have to help and save every kid. You don't, but you do have to show up for every kid. You have to be vulnerable for every kid. You have to be reverent and respectful and kind and, you know, their biggest fan and their cheerleader, their coach, their advocate, their ally, their mentor. You have to tell them that their creative talents are being seen, being appreciated. Their athletic abilities are being, like, celebrated and, you know, pushed to the harder levels. You have to let them know that it's okay to make a mess together. But that we work together to clean up our messes. You kind of model those things by the way that we humble ourselves. And you never at any point come in there and say, I'm the sole authority in this classroom and here's how it's going to roll. Because the truth is, when people feel like they're under your thumb or feeling like they're being told what to do, you know, when people feel that something, like a decision is imposed on them, they naturally will oppose that decision. Instead, you lead with kindness, you lead with grace, you lead with empathy, and you lead with that heartfelt connection that says, this is going to start with the quality of a relationship between an older person and a younger person. And I might know a lot of the answers, but I'm not going to make you feel stupid that you're trying to figure your way out through them. That's good teaching, and it's an incredible model to have in my own home. I'm very grateful that my mom, as a teacher and as a parent, is still very much, you know, a big part of my life. And I hope that we could take those same kind of lessons and put them in our classrooms, even in small ways. Having kids feel seen, celebrated, and heard. Say, hey, today's fundamentally different because you showed up. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you make next. Let's brainstorm some ideas about where we can go from here. That's good for everybody. Anyways, that's it for this week. Hope you guys are well. Please hang out with me on the Twitter machine at mehanedu, or hit me up at emc2learning.com. I will be hanging out there all week and pretty much every day for the great rest of the school year. Hope you guys are having a fantastic school year. Finish strong. Hit me up on Twitter, like I said, we can talk further, and I'll see you back here on Monday with more. Bye.